You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Ali Moreno. A little later on in the programme, Matteo Bonetti and Gab Marcotti will be here to reflect on Milan thrashing Juventus on Sunday by 3-0. All the fallout from that. But we start off by welcoming in Shaqiri Hislop and Don Hutchinson to discuss La Liga. It is, of course, the tightest race in Spain for years, maybe forever. Just 2 points separate the top three going into the final three matches of the season. Both teams, of course, drew at the week. All four teams, in fact, drew at the weekend. That 0-0 draw between Barcelona and Atletico Madrid. Meanwhile, Real Madrid's 2-2 draw against Sevilla, shrouded in controversy, in particular Sevilla's second goal. The play that changed the league.
Well done, Dan.
Thank you very much. Front page of Marca. Meanwhile, what's As got to say? Madrid lose by a hand?
Loses the hand.
Madrid loses the hand because, of course, a win for Madrid would have put them top of the table. And it is this play that Real Madrid are really annoyed about. The penalty awarded against Militao for handball. Of course, at the end of this play, Real Madrid would go up the other end and get awarded a penalty themselves. You can see Militao there clearly hitting the ball with his arm, but was it worthy of a penalty? Well, Zinedine Zidane certainly didn't think so. I'm very angry.
Oh.
You'll have to explain the handball rules to me. I don't like to talk about referees, but today the feeling isn't good. Meanwhile, Asensio, we still don't understand how the handball rule works. Militao isn't even looking at the ball. Ronald Koeman. Barcelona National on Tuesday, he was talking ahead of that game, asked about it, saying we've reached a moment where we no longer know what is or is not a handball. Right, Don, is that a handball? Is that a penalty?
I don't think it is, Dan, but I don't know why Militao's hand is so high. I mean, Asensio's saying there he wasn't even looking at the ball. I mean, try actually looking at the ball for a start, but everything about me's tells me that that was accidental. I know I'm going on an old school terminology, but I still like to lean towards, was that intentional handball or was it accidental? And it looked accidental to me.
But that's not in the laws, is it, Don?
No, I know, but I don't think anyone knows the laws, Dan. You're asking Asensio, you're asking, you know, Zidane.
Yeah, you're asking Real Madrid players. I'm asking you, and you're citing laws from that didn't even exist.
I don't think that's handball. I don't think it's handball. That's my honest opinion, but I think everyone's a little bit lost in what the actual law is.
Ali?
100% a handball! And to the point that Don was just making, the initial thought and ideas from Don were, what is his hand doing up so high? Yeah, exactly! Why is he turning away from the ball? Yeah, exactly! That is the same question I would ask Eder Militao. Why are you having to jump with some sort of twirl, turning your back to the ball, and then put your arm in a position in which it's so far away from your body and it does impact the play? For me, there's no doubt, absolutely no doubt, that this was a handball. Good call by VAR and having the referee go take a look at it. He took a look at it. He made his assessment and his interpretation. Handball, penalty, stop whining about it, Real Madrid fans.
Don, your witness.
Well, I struggle to comprehend. If you're not even looking at the ball, how can that be then intentional handball? So, you've not got a crystal ball. If you're not looking at the ball and you've turned away from it, which is a cardinal sin, by the way, I agree there, Ali, 100%. But if you're not looking at the ball, how can that be deemed then as an intentional handball penalty?
But isn't the responsibility of Eder Militao to control his body and to face the ball and to see where the ball is coming? And so therefore, the fact that he turns his back on the ball cannot be an excuse for him to be able to commit a handball. The ball touches his arm part and due in part because of the fact that he turns his body away from the body. And that's on Eder Militao. That's not on the referee. That's not on Sevilla. That's the responsibility of the player. Militao is the one to blame here. Not VAR, not the officials, not Sevilla. Pay attention to Militao and ask him this very simple question. What are you doing facing away from the ball? And what are you doing with a twirling jump inside the 18-yard box when you're supposed to defend? Those are the questions that we should be asking.
Shaka?
That's a handball. 100% a handball. I really don't know what the discussion is about. It has got nothing to do with intention. Handball hasn't had anything to do with intention for quite some time. That's just something we kind of used as a player, but was never really a part of the law. I'll double down on what Ali said. What is Militao doing? I really don't know how you even begin to defend that.
Any last words on this, Don?
No, it looks like it's 2-1 against. I hear what the lads are saying, and they're making very good points, by the way. I mean, I don't know why he's turned his back on it. I don't know why his hand is so high. It's just the fact that he's not looking at the ball doesn't strike me as then being intentional.
Yeah, but Don, if I'm in the wall and I'm like this and it hits my hand, you can't say, well, he doesn't know if the ball, you can't do that, can you?
That's a great look, by the way, Dan. That's a great look.
Here's a counter to that point, Don, which I raised in one of the IFAB meetings when I was there. Let's say, using that argument, you're not looking at the ball and your arm is extended. How can that be handball? My counter to that is, if I set a wall and I then tell my wall, turn your back to the free kick and put your arms up in the air, and somebody takes a free kick and hits my arms, which are above my head, I'm not looking at the ball. My arms are extended, yes, but to your point, is that a handball? I think yes, every single time. This is the same principle applied here.
That's why Shaka got kicked out of IFAB for those sensible thoughts.
Well, I hope they're consistent.
Let's take this. Zinedine Zidane cited this in his post-match press conference, saying, well, if Militao was a handball, this was a handball. What do you think, Ali?
No, absolutely not. These are two different plays. Jordan has his arm tucked, a little chicken wing action, right next to his body. And Fernando has the same thing. The hand just kind of tucked away into his body. These are two different plays and two different interpretations. It is no question for me that this is not a penalty, whereas Militao's was certainly a penalty.
Don Hutchinson.
Do you know, someone said to me many years ago in the World Cup, someone said to me, do you know what we should just do? Every time a ball hits a hand, it should just be an automatic penalty. And I thought that was the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life. Because I know what I would do if I was a centre forward. I'd chip it off someone's hand and get a handball. Now I'm actually starting to lean towards thinking, do you know what? That actually might be a good idea because no one knows what the laws are anymore. You're looking at two similar-ish instances and no one knows what the decisions are. Zidane's got no idea. Koeman's got no idea. The players have got no idea. We're the only ones sitting thinking we've got an opinion on it, but the players and the managers have got no idea.
Jack?
It's not at all similar-ish. Not in any way are the two incidents similar.
Well, why is Zidane saying this, Shaq?
Listen. No, hold on. If Militao throws an arm out and turns his back on the ball rather ridiculously, but you have an extended arm away from your body, there is nothing similar to that than having an arm tucked inside your body. The only thing that's similar-ish is that the ball eventually strikes the arm. That's the only thing. And in redrafting the laws, that's the one thing that they were trying to get away from. That defenders could keep their arms in next to their body, and it wasn't just a case of a striker getting a ball 2 yards away, aiming at the arm, which is tucked into the body, and it being a penalty. Because that, as you firstly and rightly said during the World Cup, was absolutely ridiculous. This confusion around the law, I just don't get. I just don't get.
As I mentioned then, three matches to go in La Liga. Full programme midweek and everyone's playing on different days. Tuesday, we'll see Barcelona take on Levante. Wednesday, Atleti against Real Sociedad. And for Thursday, it's Real Madrid against Granada. A lot more fallout from what happened in La Liga this weekend on the latest edition of the Gav and Jules podcast. Their special guest, Sid Lowe.
Oh, hey.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
After that humiliation against Milan on Sunday, Juventus find themselves fifth in the table, 1 point adrift of that all-important fourth spot and a place in the Champions League next season. For more on the fallout, shall we? Let's welcome in Gab Marcotti and Matteo Bonetti. Boys, I want to start with what Pirlo had to say after the game. I had a different project in my mind and I thought I would have had different group at my disposal. I had been working on some concepts, but then I had to make changes in order to suit their characteristics and had to adapt. Matteo, what's this all about?
This sort of reminds me of what we heard last season from Maurizio Sarri when he kind of alluded to the fact that this team was very difficult to manage, which isn't something that you normally associate with a team that's just won 9 consecutive Scudetti. You'd think that they're all soldatini, right? That was the old kind of description of this Juve side, that there were little soldiers running for Conte and all working so hard behind the scenes. But it's just, at this stage of the season, to hear Pirlo saying these things when from 1 week to another, we've seen like 36 different lineups. It's a different formation, a different personnel every single week. You have absolutely no idea what you're going to get from one Sunday to the next Sunday. So it may be not the right time when it's 3 weeks left in the season, you're in fifth place, and your squad has never had a semblance of an identity throughout the whole entire season. By the way, this squad, and there still is the old backbone, they used to have an identity. This is by far the sloppiest Juventus team that we have seen in more than a decade, that makes elementary errors, that looks like they're sometimes making amateur level decisions, which is something we've never associated with Juventus. So some of that has to go on the coach, because this is a team that always had an identity. They weren't the most fun to watch, but they defended well, they were solid, they were pragmatic. This is an absolute mess this season, to the likes that we haven't seen in a very long time. Maybe one of the most disappointing seasons from a big club that I can remember in my lifetime.
Gab, we understand that there were crunch talks today and Pirlo will remain in charge till the end of the season.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way, that they're not listening to Matteo, evidently. There's no point making a change with 3 games to go when you've got another game in midweek. I'll be very surprised if Pirlo's back next season if they don't somehow finish top 4 and maybe win the Coppa Italia as well. But this business that Matteo brought up with the old guard and whatever, the backbone, I don't know what backbone he's talking about, frankly, because Leo Bonucci in a huge game like this ends up being on the bench and the guy playing ahead of him is Chiellini, who's a million years old and concedes the stupid penalty which Kessié missed and then gets posterized by Ficario Tomori. And then the third member of the triumvirate of experience and blah, blah, blah is Gigi Buffon, who, of course, doesn't play because he's Chesney's reserve. So, look, if you're going to say they don't have an identity, yeah, fine. They went, the club decided, the people above Andrea Pirlo, why they hired him, they said, we want a different identity to the one we had before, rightly or wrongly. Once you do that, you bring in Pirlo. And he made the mistake, I think, of essentially being too honest with his answer, which is a dumb thing to do in this situation. But the reality is everything was based upon his ideas, his thesis, all this stuff, which he wrote when he was managing Juve's under-23s and he could do whatever he wanted. That was his idea. And then he ended up taking over the squad, which wasn't suited to what he wanted to do. And he was unable to adapt. He was unable to marry his concepts with the players who were there and also get results at the same time. And, you know, if we want to blame him for it, that's fine. But he's certainly not the only one to blame in this mess.
Is it the right decision Matteo to stand by until the end of the season, considering what he said?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, when I refer to the backbone, I'm not talking about the actual talent of the defenders this season. I'm talking about some of the old guard that is still there, even though most of them are a shell of their former selves. And I actually agree with Gab yesterday, what he said, that if you bring in a manager for the last three rounds of the season, what exactly is he going to do? He's probably going to play this long ball to Cristiano approach. And is it really the manager that you're then going to give a new contract to this summer and go forward with for three more seasons or whatever? And then, by the way, you have three managers on the payroll. Who exactly is out there that would take this job on the fly and would improve Juve? And we'd see this incredible team playing up to their expectations. So you just ride out this disaster of the season until this summer, until you can properly assess the situation, see what's out there, and at this point, get anyone that has managed before. Get someone who has even managed their kids' five-a-side or has managed a youth team. Pirlo came into this job, and it's almost difficult to criticize him, because how can you have had any sort of expectations from a manager that had never managed a thing in his life? I heard people saying, oh, it's like Zinedine Zidane. Zinedine Zidane had managed Real Madrid's youth system before. Pirlo had not even done that. The under-23s was going to be his first job in a managerial role. But you know what? Just keep him there until the summer, and then figure out and actually have a semblance of a plan of how to get someone who can finally give the best out of this team. I mean, even Allegri would have been better. Maurizio Sarri, even though apparently lost half the dressing room, anyone but what we've seen this season.
It's not over, though. Of course, for Juventus, still very much all to play for when it comes to a Champions League place. Yesterday, Matteo, Gab was very reluctant to tell me who he thought would, in the end, make the top four. Have you got more conviction?
I change my opinion as well every single week, but apart from Inter, I'd say at this point, Napoli, Milan, and Atalanta. I don't think Juventus' game against Inter is going to go the way of Juventus. Inter certainly not going to give any sort of gifts to their bitter rival. So I genuinely do think that at this point, Dan, Juventus is going to be in the Europa League next season.
So, bad weekend for Juventus. What else could go wrong? Oh, you get kicked out of the league. This is what Gravina had to say, the FIGC president. When clubs accept to take part in the Italian league, they accept the principles of international bodies. It's evident that if Juventus would not accept these principles, they will be banned from the domestic league. However, I hope this dispute will end soon. Will it, Gav?
Well, look, first of all, it's not like Gravina woke up this morning and said, oh, let me go and be mean to Juventus like everybody else and just kind of pour salt into the wound. This is something that was approved by the Italian FA, I think 10 days ago, something like that, which you said that, you know, if you are involved in another unrecognized competition, you can't also play in Serie A. It's designed to ward off these Super League type situations. And he's given them a deadline of until... I think it's in June, but whatever it is, it's the deadline by which clubs have to register for the following season. I would imagine that Juventus will back down. I would imagine they're going to pull out of what's left of the Super League. I think it's just contracts holding them there. And I think it was also very, very meaningful that, you know, for this crunch game against Milan, the guy sitting... Well, he was socially distanced. There was one open seat between them. But the guy sitting next door to Agnelli is his cousin, John Elkann, who's the guy who runs Fiat, runs Exor, who, you know, which is the company that owns the majority stake or controls a majority stake in Juventus. And it was almost like, okay, you know, little cousin, I'm here now. I'm having a look at this. And this guy, John Elkann, doesn't like, he has no interest whatsoever in football. But he realizes what an absolute mess Juventus have gotten themselves into with the Super League, with some of what Andrea Agnelli's done. And I think it was significant that he was there. Expect him to be more present. And I think, you know, expect some level of sanity to prevail here and Juventus to pull out. Gravina can't just snap his fingers and make it happen. But the last thing that Juve need and Serie A need is some sort of extended litigation with appeal upon appeal where they try to kick him out of Serie A. I mean, what does that mean? Juventus, for better or worse, are a Serie A side, and they're stuck with each other. So this isn't going to work.
Good news is, I suppose, Juventus aren't going to get relegated, which, of course, is something that Benevento are facing at the moment. It's the bottom three that go down in Italy, and they lost a huge match against Cagliari at the weekend by 3-1. But the big talking point from that game came when they were losing 2-1. Initially, the referee awarded a penalty, which looked clear, a challenge in the box, and he pointed to the spot. However, the VAR official would suggest that he would go over to the monitor, maybe take another look at it just to make sure that indeed it was a penalty, and that's exactly what the referee would do. He would go over to the monitor, he would take a look, he would change his mind. And in the end, Cagliari going on to win the game by 3-1. A lot of fallout after this. The Benevento president coming out, being extraordinarily critical of the officials. We saw the sporting director as well. Well, was he having a go at the VAR? They were the referee. Who was he shouting at in the car park, Matteo?
Well, that was the sporting director that was having a go at Mazzolini, the VAR official. It was actually the former Serie A winger Pasquale Foggia who started calling the referee all sorts of names, saying that he has a dirty conscience. And the message coming out of the club, Dan, out of Benevento, is that there seems to be this sort of alignment of the referees towards clubs in the south, that they don't want them to stay in the top flight. But the club that they were playing, Cagliari, isn't a northern team. They're on the island of Sardinia, which is by no means considered northern Italy. So I'm not sure if there's this sort of evil plot to relegate Benevento. It was just a bad decision, like we've seen throughout the season, even with VAR, because at the end of the day, Dan, with VAR, it's still a human helping out another human make a decision, and we know that humans fundamentally are flawed and will make errors. So we have seen so many head-scratching decisions despite having more manpower to review these decisions. But it's a really tough one for Benevento, because that game against Cagliari, the most important game of the season, it was their direct rival to see which of those two teams can actually avoid the drop. And it does look like Benevento is going to join Parma and Crotone to go down to Serie B after that.
Gab, what were you shaking your head at?
No, I'm just the absurdity of bringing in this north-south thing. As I said yesterday, it's not just that Sardinia isn't considered the south. It's that Cagliari is material. Anybody with a map can go and find Cagliari on a map, and they notice that Cagliari is south of Benevento. By the way, Napoli, who are right by Benevento on a map, happened to be ahead of Juventus, you know, if you look at the other end of the table, who are considerably north of here. It just kind of bugs me when you've got this guy who, you know, look, everybody's like, oh, isn't it wonderful, Benevento? Like, you know, they're a solid club, and he hasn't complained about referees all season. I'm like, yeah, but he's certainly making up for it now. For me personally, there was contact. It's also the guy went over far too easy. His whole basis, whole premise of it is that he got it into his head that VAR isn't allowed to intervene and to make a judgment on the severity of contact, that they can only intervene on whether there is or is not contact. And in this case, he thinks the VAR intervened and had the referee look at it again because he was judging, actually the contact isn't that severe. Look, if this happened, fine, but ultimately, it's still the referee that you have to take the issue of with, not the VAR, this guy who's now being harassed online, he's gotten death threats and whatever. It's still the referee on the pitch who made the decision. Mm. And I think you have to accept it. Are you upset? Fine. But, you know, you want to start talking conspiracies, at least get your geography right.
Gab Matteo, as always, thank you very much. Of course, a full program of midweek matches in Italy. It starts on Tuesday. Napoli taking on Udinese, a big game for them. And then on Wednesday, Atalanta play host to Benevento. You've also got Inter against Roma, Juventus away against Sassuolo, and Torino against AC Milan. It's a Coppa Italia final week Wednesday. What a game this should be. Atalanta against Juventus is a match that's live on ESPN2 with coverage starting at 2:30 Eastern.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
If you haven't done so already, be sure to go to our YouTube channel, subscribe to ESPN FC. Let's welcome back, shall we? Shaka, and in particular, Don Hutchinson, as we focus on some more controversial calls from the weekend. Plenty in that Manchester City-Chelsea clash. Don, let's focus early on, shall we? Raheem Sterling, should this have been red?
Great tackle. Great tackle.
What about his right his right foot there? Ow, Werner.
Oh, come on. Dan, I was at West Ham versus Everton and Tom Davies put three bone-crunching tackles in.
We're not talking about that game, Don. I don't care about Tom Davies. I don't care about where you were. I care about that challenge and Raheem Sterling's right foot being high, isn't it?
It wasn't high. Don't start winding me up. I think it's a conspiracy tonight. I can see it in your eyes.
No, I'm not being an idiot. I'm not trying to stir things up. But
I don't know. Tackle.
How can you say that his right foot isn't high?
There's going to be a little bit of contact on the follow-through. I think that's what the referee's suggesting. There's a little bit of contact. Look at the ball. Look where the ball goes. Ryan Sterling's pointing towards the ball. I've won the ball, ref. That's not a red card.
Ali.
Oh, first of all, the ball goes in that direction because his trailing leg, once Raheem Sterling takes out Timo Werner, then makes contact with the ball. So let's not focus on that because this is post-challenge. Now, if Timo Werner had his leg planted on the ground, Raheem Sterling, with the momentum that he's carrying, goes over the top of the ball and breaks Timo Werner's legs. This is how bad that challenge was. It was full momentum, showing the bottom of your shoes, over the top of the ball. It is 100% a red card.
Wind me up. If Shaka says that's a red card, it's a wind up.
Shaka.
First of all, I like how Don's defense of everything is, back in 1963, I remember this time. from the time that's your opening argument, you know you're on to a loser here.
I didn't even say that.
That's a red card.
What?
That is a red card. Whenever, listen, I'm going to, anytime two players come in head on like that and one leaves his feet and shows his studs, I don't care where the ball goes. Off your feet, coming straight on stud showing, you are flirting with a red card. And then to catch Timo Werner as Raheem Sterling did, That's a red card all day, every day, ever since 1964.
Okay, let's talk about penalties, shall we? And not the one late on that wasn't given, but the actual one that was given. Don, did you think this was the right decision?
No, I thought it was an accidental collision between Jesus and Billy Gilmore. And when you see Billy Gilmore trying to hop in the air like that, suggests to me he's trying to get out of the way. Not everything has to be a foul. I think some things can be accidental. It was an accidental collision. I wouldn't blame the referee for giving it, but in my opinion, I didn't think that was a pen.
Shaq?
The more I see, the more I think it's not a penalty. And listen, accidental collisions in the box, I'm fine with the referee giving those as a penalty. It's on the defender to avoid that coming together. I'm just not sure that Jesus is in controlling distance of the ball. I think the ball just gets away from him. And if that's the case, if that's how you see it, then I don't see how you then give that as a penalty.
Ali?
100% a penalty.
My days, he'd be the worst ref ever.
Hey, this whole idea that Billy Gilmore, okay, he's trying to get out of the way. He may be trying, but he doesn't succeed in getting out of the way. He does a good job of tripping up Gabriel Jesus. It is indeed a penalty. He impedes the progress of Gabriel Jesus inside the 18-yard box. Penalty.
Okay. Don doesn't think anything is a penalty.
Well.
So let's see.
And Ali thinks everything is.
So that leads us beautifully to the late challenge on Raheem Sterling, Don.
Penalty.
Ah! Hey! Penalty. Penalty.
because Kurt Zouma, not once, not twice, I don't blame the referee, I blame the referee for not seeing the referee's assistant for not seeing it, but he's clumsy, he gets too tight. He should just stay off Raheem Sterling. He has a couple of nibbles just there. He's clumsy into the back of him. That is a definite penalty.
Yeah, I think everyone would agree with you there. Don Shaka, yes. Ali, yes. Yes.
Finally!
As much as it hurts me to agree with Don.
Don, you mentioned the assistant, but if only there was only someone watching a screen that could maybe suggest that Anthony Taylor... That was the weird thing, wasn't it? Like, go over and have a little look and see what's going on.
Yeah, it's like the referee, okay, I'll allow you to miss that, but the linesman's got to help. And then, yeah, this thing called VAR. Take a look at it.
Right then, finally, away from the City game, Watkins getting a second yellow for simulation in Villa's defeat against United. What do you think of this, Ali?
Well, I agree with the referee and his interpretation and his assessment of the play. What I can tell you, Ollie Watkins, come over to the diving school and we'll teach you how to do this correctly. Just keep running. Don't start diving before the goalkeeper gets there. If you just run through the leg of the goalkeeper, this would have been the contact that you needed. At that time, you go down. Now we're talking a penalty, and you are not in danger of getting that second yellow card. I agree with the call with the referee. I'm telling Ollie Watkins to come over and attend the program over the summer at the diving school.
Don?
Imagine Ali being a referee. It would end up 9v9 and 16 penalties every single game. How do you know? How does the referee know there? He's looking at, you know, two players potentially coming together. He can't be sure that Ollie Watkins has dived, then for a second yellow card to send him off the pitch. I think it's incredibly harsh because I can't tell if the goalkeeper's caught him or not.
Shaka?
Yeah, I think that's the deciding factor, whether Henderson catches or Ollie Watkins. I'm like Don, I'm not at all sure. Given that uncertainty, I find the red card a harsh one.
Of course, it was a weekend that saw Manchester United then guarantee a place in the Champions League next season. Two spots remaining, very much all to play for, isn't it? And according to the bookies, it is close between Liverpool and Leicester. Leicester, of course, with that surprise defeat against Newcastle. Liverpool, meanwhile, I've completely forgot what they've done this weekend. Oh, they beat Southampton, didn't they? So, as it stands, they are 6 points adrift of Leicester. However, they do have a game in hand. Leicester, of course, are taking on Manchester United, Don, aren't they, on Tuesday? And that is going to be a key game because you'd imagine United will rest quite a few players for that clash, given that they just played on Sunday.
Exactly. But the fixtures are difficult. I think it's a straight shootout between Leicester and Liverpool for fourth. I think Chelsea are nailed on. I think my old side, West Ham, are just going to miss out, even though their fixtures are quite kind. But I think it's one spot me. I think it's fourth position that Leicester and Liverpool are fighting
for. We know that, Don, but who's going to get it?
Well, I don't know, do I? I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's between Leicester and Liverpool.
Well, that's what I just said. The bookies had it very tight between Leicester and Liverpool.
I'm going Liverpool get a 0-0 draw against Man U and then go three wins on the spin. So Liverpool just nick in there.
What about on Tuesday? Leicester against what you imagine won't be a full-strength United side, Don?
Draw.
Really?
I think so.
Ali, where are you going with this?
And the way it is. Yeah. Chelsea and Leicester are the last couple to get in, and that's it. Game, set, match. I just don't trust Liverpool to get the results they need and they want at this point of the season.
Shaq?
I'm leading Leicester right now. Listen, as poor as they've been over recent weeks, and even with Liverpool grinding results out, there's nothing convincing about Liverpool's performances, even when they do win. I'm leaning Leicester right now. I just feel that when they're on their game, they're the better of the two. Despite the tougher running, Leicester get it done.
Well, of course,
Newcastle were 4-0 up. Oh. Newcastle were 4-0 up against Leicester.
So you're going Liverpool, Don?
And they're
going
to hang on. Pardon?
You're going Liverpool, then?
Yes, I am.
There we go. All right, there we are. We'll be reflecting on Manchester United against Leicester on the next edition of the show. Be sure to join us. And, of course, Leicester are in action against Chelsea in the FA Cup final, which is live on ESPN Plus on Saturday. Coverage starts at 11 a.m. Eastern. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. A 2-0 home defeat against Burnley was enough to condemn Fulham to Championship football next season. They'll be plying their trade alongside West Brom and Sheffield United, of course, also relegated from the Premier League this season. Casey and Archie are talking the Bundesliga, but of course both will have links with Fulham. Archie, truth be told, this is the second time we're taping this segment because the first time you blabbered on too long about Fulham.
I'll happily go again if you want. How many times do you want to go? No, look, the transfer strategy at the club is outdated and unique, to say the least, and not in a good way. Too much business left to do late on. Going forward, not enough goals. And ultimately, this is what you get. A heroic relegation, because I think Fulham have had so many compliments this season for the way they play, but just not a lot of points.
Yeah, they won a lot of fans, didn't they, Casey, in the way they played and stuck by Scott Parker, but that doesn't really give you points.
No, I think the fans would prefer maybe a little different style and stay in the Premier League. Fortunately, I was fortunate enough to be a part of a great escape that Fulham had a few years back, where we won four out of the last five matches. But unfortunately, there was a glimmer of hope at one stage. I thought Scott had turned things around, and then unfortunately at the end, it just didn't happen.
I have a Jaden.
I remember that day. Casey. Away at Portsmouth, you were in goal. Danny Murphy, 15 minutes from time. Dan, you're going to give me this, okay? It's been a tough year.
All right, Fulham. Memories. TV. Thank you very much. I'm trying to look for a link now from Fulham to your Jadon Sancho interview. The only one I can come up with is that Fulham's relegation may well hamper their quest to sign Jadon Sancho in the summer. Of course, a lot of speculation about where he will be. You, of course, caught up with him after that incredible win against Leipzig.
Jadon Sancho.
Hello.
Tell me, how does that feel to score a winner in such an important game like that?
It feels very good. Again, it was an important 3 points for us, and especially for the fans. And, you know, we knew that if we won today, that it would push us closer to qualifying for Champions League. And, you know, obviously, especially Erling being out, I promised him that we'll get the 3 points today because of his absence, and I'm happy I've done that for him, and especially for the team, because we've all been working hard this week, and I'm glad that it paid off.
I think it's fair to say that Erling Haaland is your biggest fan, judging by the way that he was supporting you from the stands today. What did he say to you when he rushed onto the pitch at the end?
No, he just congratulated me, and he was like just celebrating with me, saying, come on. But I told him there's one more job to do, is the Pokal final. And, you know, me and him always motivate each other in training, and, you know, push each other to the limit. And, you know, working with Erling is very good. And, you know, we both motivate each other on the pitch and off the pitch. And he's just a great person to be around.
Jadon, talk to me about your dancing feet, because you move them very, very quickly, and I think defenders find it very difficult to keep up with you. Are you any good on the dance floor as well?
No, well, you know, my mum always told me that I'm a good dancer, so, you know, no, I'm joking. But I think this is from when I was younger, just watching Ronaldinho on YouTube, and, you know, I used to just try to copy him when I was playing street football back home in London. So, you know, I've just been progressing and working on my skills even more, and, you know, I still have a lot more to work on, and hopefully I can just improve my game offensively and defensively. So I'm just happy that today that we got the 3 points, and yeah, I'm glad.
Just finally, cup final now coming up.
Yeah.
You're on course for the Champions League by the looks of it, if results go your way.
Yeah.
Is this where you want to be next season?
Where?
Here, Dortmund.
I don't know about my future, but I'm very happy here at the moment. I love the club, I love the fans. They've always supported me. They gave me my first professional start, and I'm just very grateful for them and having me here. And every time I play, I always try to give my best, because I know the fans, when they were here, they always motivated me and pushed me to the limit. So I'm very happy with this team and the coaching staff, and yeah.
Jaden, it's fun to watch you as a neutral as well. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Archie, it's interesting you that last question. Obviously, he giving all the right answers, but Jan says there is a gentleman's agreement in place between Dortmund and Manchester United, and Old Trafford will be more than likely his destination come the summer. Yet we're hearing talk now that maybe Liverpool are sniffing around.
Yeah, there has been that, which has come into the picture as well. I think what you heard there from Jadon Sancho was a very polite and endearing, I would like to leave the club, but I'm very grateful for everything that Dortmund has done for me in my career. And I think that should Dortmund receive the right amount of money in the summer, that being probably around the 100 million euro mark, I think they would be willing to sell him as well. This is a deal that has worked out perfectly for Borussia Dortmund. They signed him for around 6 or 7 million euros, I think it was, and he has bloomed and blossomed in a way that I think even he probably could not have imagined. So I think the aim of this transfer, as it has been for other Bundesliga clubs when they bought English talent, is to convert that into a big profit. And that's what Jadon Sancho looks like he will be for Borussia Dortmund.
Archie, you've seen a lot of him up close and personal. How good is he?
Well, I managed to irritate a French friend of mine by calling him the English Ronaldinho the other day. But he does have so many tricks in his locker. And it's been a joy, particularly as an Englishman, to watch him, to think of the things he could do in an England national team shirt as well. He just has this street footballer side to him that he can just switch it on in these tight spaces, which is so important for teams these days as well, for your big teams who have to break down these deep-lying defences. And the thing I really love about Jadon Sancho is that he won't want to try and out-sprint you. He'll want to try and out-skill you. And that is just a joy to watch as a neutral fan.
Casey, you, of course, call this game for ESPN. Jadon Sancho was the difference between these two sides.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, with Erling Haaland missing, they were looking for someone to be able to score the goals. And we know this season that Jadon Sancho has not had the best of seasons. And we think that obviously the drama with the 100 million move to Manchester United on and off again, and then some injury issues. But he really has found great form just when Borussia Dortmund needed him the most. And now he just has to finish it off and continue that with a cup final and getting a couple wins to see them into the Champions League. But, you know, I agree with Archie. I think in the end, he'll probably be on his way because there was an agreement when that fell through in the last minute with Manchester United at the beginning of the season, and they just won't be able to resist the huge amount of profit. But take nothing away. He's gotten himself back into great form just at the right time.
Very much so, of course. Two games remaining then in the Bundesliga. The race still very much on for a place in the top four. Eintracht Frankfurt dropping points against Mainz at the weekend, meaning that Dortmund and Wolfsburg are very much the favourites to qualify for the Champions League. Will those two do it, do you think, Archie?
I think so. The way that things are going, particularly at Frankfurt, where they have completely lost their footing ever since beating Borussia Dortmund and taking a 7-point lead over them. Wow. It looked like that was it. I said as much on this programme that I thought that Dortmund were done for. And yet now here we are, and Dortmund are in the driving seat with all the momentum, playing really well. Right now, Wolfsburg, the fact that they go to RB Leipzig, that's a difficult game. But you just think that Wolfsburg and Dortmund have probably a little too much right now. Dortmund's game at Mainz, though, is also tough. Let's not forget that Mainz beat Bayern the other week as well. So, still up in the air.
Do you agree, though, Casey? It's those two that are in the driving seat?
Yeah, I think Archie made a good point. At that loss to Frankfurt from Dortmund, it really looked like that Dortmund was just going the wrong way fast. And then they win five league games in a row and Frankfurt falter, and there you go. But I agree that, you know, my former teammate Bo Svensson at Mainz has done a remarkable job and gotten them into a most likely mid-table position and safety. And so, yeah, they'll have something to say about it. But I do believe that Wolfsburg and Dortmund have now put themselves in the best position to qualify for Champions League.
Well, for Dortmund, of course, the attention switches from the league to the cup. It is the cup final on Thursday where they face Leipzig. That game live on ESPN2 at 2:30 Eastern. Archie caught up with Julian Nagelsmann after that Leipzig defeat.
You've not, as RB coach, won against Dortmund or Bayern during your time there so far. How do you see that statistic? Is that something that plays on your mind at all?
No, there's still one chance, and we try to win the next game. So then there will be the first victory.
The way that your team came back, does that give you some hope for the final on Thursday then?
Yeah, that's one part, but also I think the things we did in the second half overall, not only that we came back, also the way of playing soccer and also the way of attacking and of counter-pressing. I think that's important information we get out of this game and try to build now a good idea, which allow us to win the game in the cup final.
Julian, thank you.
You're welcome.
Casey, psychologically, how much of a difference does the result of the weekend make for that cup final on Thursday? How much of an influence does it have on it?
Well, we were talking about it, Derek Ray and I, you know, during the broadcast, that, you know, obviously for RB Leipzig, the cup final meant so much. For Borussia Dortmund, yeah, the cup final is a big deal, but at the expense of losing in the league and not qualifying for Champions League. So Nagelsmann made some changes for the league match with an eye on the cup final, and Nagelsmann has not won a trophy as a manager. So for him to go into Bayern Munich that expects to win three trophies every season, you know, being trophyless, you know, it would be huge for him to win this. But Dortmund are the informed side, but how hard is it to beat somebody the quality of RB Leipzig twice in a row in the same week? There has to be a ton of motivation for Leipzig to get one back on them.
Should be a great final, shouldn't it, Archie?
Yeah. Look, I just hope it's as open as this game was on Saturday. I think that Dortmund have more big game players than RB Leipzig. If you look across the RB Leipzig team, there's a lot of 7 out of 10 players, I would say, there. Whereas Dortmund have got a couple of 8 and 9 out of 10 players in their squad. I look to Erling Haaland, Jadon Sancho, Marco Reus on his day. And I wonder, are they going to make the difference in this game if Erling Haaland does indeed recover from what is seemingly the longest dead leg in history? We'll have to find out. Let's also see how Deo Upamecano gets on RB Leipzig. He's not been in very good form at all, not really, since his move was announced to Bayern Munich, which is coming this summer, along with coach Julian Nagelsmann. Nagelsmann's time at Hoffenheim faded once it was known that he was going to RB Leipzig. You wonder, does everybody still have the same focus that they would have had they known that Nagelsmann was going to be there next season? I know that Angelino, who signed a new contract earlier this year, I think he's one of the people who's very frustrated at the fact that Nagelsmann is off. He's been very complimentary of him in the past. So lots of narrative, as there always is, going into cup finals. Could be a first trophy for Julian Nagelsmann in his young career, but also for the hometown hero of Borussia Dortmund, a guy who many think now will be a future coach of Borussia Dortmund at some point, Edin Terzic, who has come from nowhere, come from a place where everyone was saying he should be sacked in January. So what a job he's done to even put Dortmund in this position.
Archie and Casey, as always, thank you very much. Very much looking forward to that final on Thursday. Before that, there's domestic action on ESPN+. Schalke taking on Hertha Berlin, and then a full programme of matches for you on Saturday and Sunday, including Mainz against Dortmund and Leipzig against Wolfsburg on Sunday.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. We're back tomorrow to reflect on United against Leicester. But be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is coming up next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali with me in the studio. Also, Shaka Hislop joins us, as does... Oh, there's me watching West Ham Everton. Don Hutchison on the call. Game finishes. Don's line. What a great way to spend my birthday watching West Ham and Everton back about this game.
Well, it was. The sun was shining.
No subtlety to it at all. It's my birthday, everyone.
No, I got asked the question. Have you had a nice day? And I said, yes. I spend it watching West Ham and Everton, two of my former clubs, at the London Stadium in the sunshine. Amazing day.
They were just asking if you had a nice day. And then you said, yeah, I had a lovely birthday.
No, but everyone knew it was my birthday, didn't they?
Oh, they did after that. Well, 50, Don, as well.
Ooh, big one.
Let's call it 49 plus one.
Yep, that's halfway line talk.
Yeah.
That's more 25 plus 25.
Halfway line punch is back.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm not sure if you saw this extraordinary story in baseball over the weekend, where basically the players made up quite the excuse regarding why they were fighting. There was an odd story over the weekend where two MLB baseball players were fighting over seeing a rat or raccoon in the locker room. Seems made up to cover up teammates fighting, you think? Have you guys ever made up a crazy story to cover up a fight in the locker room or at training? Don, I feel drawn to you.
Yeah. Shaka, were you at West Ham when Di Canio started a fight? I think at halftime, and he picked on Ian Pearce, Christian Daly, and I think Thomas Repka. And then all of a sudden, Paolo sort of moonwalked out the fight and left the other three guys at it because Paolo couldn't fight. Were you there?
Let me tell you. I do remember that one. I was involved in a little bit of a bust up with Paolo at halftime away to Birmingham City. But Paolo could pick a fight with anybody. Paolo picked a fight with nearly the entire dressing room, preseason game. We play in Plymouth, preseason game. We six up, Plymouth score in the last minute of a preseason game. And Paolo comes in and starts throwing water bottles all over the dressing room. I don't know how to even explain that.
Did you ever have to use an excuse like, oh, they were fighting over whether or not it was a big rat or a raccoon to cover up for the media?
No.
No. I found a dead raccoon once in my bin. Mm-mm. That wasn't very nice.
And how did you handle that, Dan?
I called my neighbour to come and get it. He got a big snow shovel and knocked over the bin. And in the end, he wasn't dead. He was sleeping. He just shoved it off. Beautiful raccoon story.
A napping raccoon.
There was no fighting over it.
Don't even know what one looks like.
Exactly, yes. For Don, Guardiola didn't play his best 11 for both the Chelsea games. Is Guardiola hiding his tactics for the final, or didn't he want his best 11 to go into the final overconfident or fearful?
Whew. No, I think that tweet's going a little bit too deep. I think the semi-final he rested a few because he had a Champions League semi-final to play. The weekend against Chelsea, he was always going to rest a few because he's got some big games coming up. I think the wonder is, if you're Thomas Tuchel and your Chelsea players, I wonder if they think they've got Man City's number going into the Champions League final. So that might be interesting. But in terms of Pep not showing his hand, I'm not buying that one.
Did you get any nice presents for your birthday, Don?
No, I got money, Dan. It was amazing.
really give it away to people begging or telling you stories.
No, I got money. Amazing. Amazing. That's all you ever want.
So what, your wife just gave you a wad of cash and said, there you go, happy birthday?
Actually, she got me nothing. It was all the guys that I worked
for. He got gift cards.
Amazing.
Wait, who gave you money?
She got me a chocolate cake.
Who gave you money?
She got me a chocolate cake. Pardon?
Who gave you money?
The three guys that I work for. Oh, 50 quid each.
All right, it's not just your wages.
Work with, sorry. Work with Jonathan Joseph, Leroy Rossignol, and Seema Jaswal. Give me 50 quid each.
Well, can you imagine any of us giving each other money on their
birthday? No! Why not?
It's very strange.
No! Well, it's better than a sort of rubbish present that you waste your money on.
No, it's, I suppose, can you imagine going to Stevie saying we need $50 for Shaka's birthday?
No! Not happening!
Is Cavani the answer to Manchester United?
$46.
Is Cavani? Yes.
That's Shaka's age.
Is Cavani the answer to Manchester United making a push for the title next season, Ali, or is he just a backup?
They have to come up with more answers than just Cavani. Mm-hmm. And they also have to come up with the answer as to who's going to be better than Manchester City. And based on the evidence that we have seen with Thomas Tuchel, you also have to come up with the answer as to who's going to be better than Chelsea. So it's not just Manchester City that you're trying to beat. You figure that Liverpool is going to come back and be better than what they were this season. Manchester United with Edinson Cavani will be better, but there are a lot of other things that they're going to have to figure out in that team.
Don?
I think reading between the lines, you know, Edinson Cavani signing that new deal, I think that means Man United might be going for Jadon Sancho in the summer from the right-hand side.
No.
And I think they're going to bank on the emergence of Mason Greenwood, then taking Cavani's position full-time in a year's time. That's what I predict.
We talked about that, of course, a lot on the show with Archie and Casey. Sancho moving to Manchester United. Meanwhile, Shaka, why is Panenka considered a humiliation? I think when Panenka attempted it for the first time, he was hailed for it. Would love to know a goalkeeper's view.
Well, it embarrasses the keeper by that slow little, when it was initially done, it wasn't a slow ding, but it embarrasses the keeper. The challenge to that is, you get it wrong, it becomes an embarrassment to the striker. My experience, most players have no issue with a striker missing a penalty. They do take exception to a striker trying to be cute with it and making a mess of it as Aguero did.
Well, I put the tweet out today asking if anybody has any questions for the panel. We had over 250 replies. I would say over 200 one of those were percentage questions for Don. So we've just chosen one. Honestly, I promise you. What percentage chance do you give Leicester of bottling another top four finish?
Ooh, I think 60-40. I think 60% they might bottle it.
Wow.
I think there's a 60% chance because of their fixtures.
Yeah, terrible.
And how could you predict they would be 4-0 down against Newcastle at one point in the game?
Yeah.
Oh, incredible. So many injuries and the fixtures they've got are horrendous.
Now, back in the day, this is quite a long time ago, there was something called the Shaka curse, which is basically whatever he predicted would go completely opposite way. And it was going on for a very long time. But is the Shaka curse dead, says this tweet, and now it's the Ali curse because of all the La Liga predictions this season. Yeah, every La Liga prediction you've made has been wrong, Ali.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have been completely wrong. But to be fair to me, I'm not alone in that. Barcelona has been wrong, Atletico Madrid has been wrong, Real Madrid has been wrong, all of them have been wrong. And just when you think that there's the team that's gonna win it, just when you think they've generated enough momentum, this is a moment where you can trust them, they go and let you down. Story of my life, really. A lot of people in my life like that.
I've let you down?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh dear, Ali, it's getting deep.
Very deep.
Ali, who is most likely to let you down? Who is most likely to be a key part in their team winning the title? Antoine Griezmann, Eden Hazard, or João Felix? Wow. Who's that squeaky door?
Oh, who could it be?
Shaka.
Always Shaka.
Shaka.
Who's squeaking that door, Shaq?
I have no idea, Dan.
Oh, no, yeah, definitely not.
That's a good question, by the way. It's a very good question. I'm going to say Antoine Griezmann.
Yeah.
Man, it is difficult to pick Hazard to do anything. But then again, did he get that goal?
They're saying that he got the last touch.
It's a game winner. I mean, yeah. A game tying goal. Big moment for Real Madrid. I'm going to say Antoine Griezmann because, yeah, I suppose that he would have more of a role than Hazard and Joao Felix.
About the Xhaka's haunted house. Xhaka, what training do you recommend to pursue a career as a war psychologist coach?
Whoa, what?
A wall psychologist coach.
Okay. I don't know where to go with this, Dan.
Oh, that's good, Jack.
That's good.
Excellent.
Don is an expert on walls.
Don is still trying to pursue that theory that everyone should be facing the goal if you're in the wall.
Yes.
Good job.
Because they're not brave enough.
Yeah.
So if I was Xhaka and a goalkeeper...
I'll hand this over to Don.
Yes.
Yeah, get the wall facing the complete wrong way so they don't know when the ball's going to strike the back of their heads or not.
Good.
And according
Instead
to
of
Don...
ducking out the way.
Yeah, you could have your hands up.
Yeah, according to Don, you just go like this and away from the ball.
Accidental.
Yeah, and then you turn like this, as Dan did. Yeah. No handball.
Yeah. It's all an accident because you don't know
or
it's coming.
Find them. Or set your wall up, and if anyone moves out the wall, find them.
Find them?
Yep, find them.
$50, give it to you.
Hey, exactly.
Oh, more than that. Like a professional footballer can't take a throw in. Find them as well. Weeks
right.
wages.
The foul throws. Right.
That's me.
Don's finding everyone.
I know.
We're all in.
That's because he's got money.
That's it. What are you going to spend your money on, Don? Your birthday money at 50?
I don't know.
Oh.
I know. I've got 150 to blow. I don't know.
You have to get something for your bike. Have you got those clicky shoes that people have? Get some of them.
No. That is not me.
Wait a second.
I don't
know
clicky shoes.
Wait a second. Is Don going around in the bike with the spandex and the whole thing?
Don,
No. I'm mountain bike alley, so I get in the mud. I like the mud.
Is.
I like all the dirt. Yeah.
Don likes to post it on social media, him covered in dirt. Oh, here I am, after my bike ride.
Fresh off my birthday.
Yes, he got hit by a van. Do you remember that? Xhaka laughed. Rude.
Yeah, that was cruel. Look at Xhaka, loves it.
Yeah, that would have been funny to see.
Ruined his bike.
Oh, no, I've seen nothing. I've seen after this.
Ah, right, where are we now? Asked Dan, does he still think Chelsea ain't making top four? No, I believe I will change my mind on that opinion, and I believe now Chelsea will make top four.
Okay.
Finally, Xhaka, have you ever conceded a goal that left you in awe?
Mm. Well, when Don scored...
Many a time.
Yeah, when Don scored on him from the halfway line...
Don's never scored at me.
Yeah, from the halfway line, you don't remember that,
Don's never scored at me from anywhere.
You know, Shaq. You know in training, I've knocked you from the halfway line before.
No chance. Does never scored at me. Now I'm in training.
What was the best goal you ever conceded, Shaq?
Best goal I've ever... conceded quite a few, Dan.
Yes.
Letizia had a few. I remember conceding one at Stamford Bridge opening day of the season. That probably would have been 2000-2001 season. I conceded one at Stamford Bridge. That was, I think it made top 10 of the season, you know. It was bad. I can't remember who it was against.
Right.
That one was good.
Yeah. Don, what's the best goal that you've seen in opposition?
I've conceded a few goals in my career, Dan.
Yeah, I know, Shaq. That's all right.
I can't remember. I can't remember with Shaq, because I don't think you weren't in goal, Shaq, for the Letizia goals against Newcastle. That was Mike Hooper, wasn't it?
I've conceded quite a few from Letizia. I'm not sure what goals you're talking about.
Well, the worldies that he scored against Newcastle, I think that was Mike Hooper in goal.
You were on the pitch for them, yeah, Don?
No, I was just a fan. Oh. That was a long time ago. Because Shaq is, you know, a fair few years older than me.
What about ones you were on the pitch for, Don?
Best goals I've seen?
Yeah.
I'm only 50. I'm not a few years older than you.
Ish. Wow.
Oh, that's a tester. No, that's a tester. Can't think that far back.
You any Messi specials? What, Ronaldo?
Yeah, well, I've seen a few of those up close and personal. But more importantly, in regards to this conversation, Xhaka may have not conceded goals to Don Hutchison. However, he has conceded goals to me!
Wow. Yeah. Get it.
Hey. Woo! On that very desperate and sad note for Xhaka Hislop.
I know. That is desperate and that is sad.
That brings you the end down, of today's Jack. Show. Thank you very much. Happy birthday, Don. Lots of love to you from all of us. We'll be back tomorrow for more as we'll be reflecting on Leicester.
$60 is in the post, Don.
Yes.
Oh, it's coming.
There have been some problems with the postal service, so that may be late. Thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow for more.